The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink and criminalize
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love the earth.
Ah, yeah, good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. We are so glad to have you here. It is Tuesday, October 16th, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. It's also a very special day for those of us who are fighting this good fight to end adult marijuana prohibition, as Americans for Safe Access are in court right now in the District of Columbia, the U.S. District Court of Appeals, in their case, ASA versus DEA, where they are working to get the DEA to finally relent and realize that marijuana does not belong in Schedule 1, that it does have accepted medical use in the United States and should be treated like other medicines. So as soon as we have some updates from that trial, we'll let you know. They were not allowed to bring in any sort of recording devices or transmitting devices into the trial, so they're not even live tweeting the trial, much less giving us any live streaming. But as soon as we have some updates, we will let you know about that. All right, joining us here in the studio, we have got Brian the Red hanging out here, surfing the net and making sure everything's cool on the social networking front. How you doing, Brian?
Oh, I'm all new to this Facebook stuff, so yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of interesting stuff that I didn't know was going on. So.
That's right. Getting cool. All caught up, and we'll check back in a little later in hour two for our Toker Talk Radio, where we take your calls at 971-533-7111, and you can be a part of the voice of the marijuana nation. Coming up on today's show, we've got our headlines taking place right after the first break, and in our headlines today, all sorts of interesting stories, including conservatives leading the charge for legalization, New Jersey opening its first medical marijuana dispensary, a report from the UK calling for the decriminalization of drugs, and interesting election hijinks going on in Eagle Rock, California with regard to medical marijuana. Then we will go behind the headlines and take a look at the case for the constitutional showdown that's being threatened if we were to legalize marijuana in Washington, Oregon, and or Colorado. It's a showdown we're all looking forward to. At 20 after, we get to our Electric Tuesday for our daily Toker Tunes. We'll bring you some great electronic dance music. And then we move right into half past the hour, our regular first and third Tuesday segment. We're joined by Greg DeHote from Normal UK. He'll be telling us what's going on there across the pond and give us an update on that decriminalization study that we heard of in the headline news. And then at 45 past, time for a radical rant. I'm going to train my eye on that ASA rescheduling case and warn you, be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. All that and more coming up on The Russ Belville Show.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to The Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the sky.
We're not looking to end beer summits at the White House or change the way people behave on the campaign trail. We just believe adults, in the privacy of their homes, should be allowed to use marijuana instead of alcohol if that's what they prefer. 40 years ago, our government launched an irrational war on marijuana for reasons unrelated to the actual and limited harms of the substance. It's time for a more sensible approach. It's time to regulate marijuana. Paid for by the campaign to regulate marijuana like...
Compared to a planet, you're all just a bunch of specks. But we love you all anyway. Mum-mum.
This is tremendous specks. Waves all over in space.
The Russ Belville Show. Chat is for friends 18 and older. We expect our chat to be civil, mature, and free from excessive profanity. If you don't like these rules, there are approximately 6 billion other chat rooms with lower standards that you can visit.
Now it's time for your 420 headline news with Carrie Gallagher. Carrie is off today. I'm Russ Belville with the news. Reporting from the Washington Post business section today, marijuana backers court conservatives with appeals on states' rights and ineffective pot laws. In Denver, Colorado, it's not all hippies backing November's marijuana legalization votes in Colorado, Oregon, and Washington. Appealing to Western individualism and a mistrust of federal government, activists have lined up some prominent conservatives, from one-time presidential hopefuls Tom Tancredo and Ron Paul to Republican-turned-libertarian presidential candidate and former New Mexico governor Gary Johnson. This is truly a nonpartisan issue, said Mark Slaw, a volunteer for the Colorado Initiative, who is based in Colorado Springs, which has more Republicans than anywhere else in the state. He said, quote, it's fiscally prudent. It would be taxed, regulated, and monitored. It would make a lot of sense to Republicans, end quote, as he also chanted states' rights, as he handed out flyers to people passing by. In Oregon, at least one Republican state Senate candidate backs legalization. In Washington state, Republican U.S. Senate hopeful Michael Baumgartner is running a long-shot bid to unseat Democratic U.S. Senator Maria Cantwell, who opposes the legalization measure. Pot supporters have also lined up other surprising allies, including conservative stalwart Pat Robertson, the 700 Club broadcaster. Pro-pot conservatives have counterparts on the other side, doctors who say pot should be legal without a doctor's recommendation. The Democratic governors in Colorado and Washington, however, oppose legalization. Oregon's Democratic governor has yet to weigh in on the issue. Reporting from CBS News, Money Watch, the first New Jersey medical marijuana center has been okayed to open, Trenton, New Jersey. New Jersey's first state-sanctioned medical marijuana dispensary can open whenever it's ready, the state health department announced on Monday, meaning legal pot is on the verge of becoming reality for some patients after years of political battles and bureaucratic delays. Greenleaf Compassion Center in Montclair has cleared all its regulatory hurdles and was granted a license to become the state's first dispensary, Health Commissioner Mary O'Dowd announced Monday. The New Jersey law was signed in January of 2010 and is both the strictest and the longest to get rolling. There were holdups as the state drafted regulations on exactly how it would work, then delays as five of the six nonprofit groups chosen to participate in the program struggled to find towns that were willing to accept them. Reporting from The Guardian, decriminalized drug use, say experts, after a six-year study. A six-year study of Britain's drug laws by leading scientists, police officers, and academics and experts has concluded it is time to introduce decriminalization. The report by the UK Drug Policy Commission, an independent advisory body, says possession of small amounts of controlled drugs should no longer be a criminal offense and concludes the move will not lead to a significant increase in use. The experts say criminal sanctions imposed on the 42,000 people sentenced each year for possession of drugs and the 160,000 given cannabis warnings should be replaced with simple civil penalties, such as a fine, attendance at a drug awareness session, or a referral to a drug treatment program. They also say that imposing minimal or no sanctions on those growing cannabis for personal use could go some way to undermining the burden controlled by organized crime. And finally, reporting from the Los Angeles Times local section, pot shops provoke bitter neighborhood council election. A provision of city law allowed more than 300 outsiders to vote in the Eagle Rock contest. One flyer offered $40 worth of pot to those who cast ballots. From the Los Angeles Times, tensions between neighborhood leaders fighting a surge in medical marijuana dispensaries and the industry's increasingly assertive supporters spilled into neighborhood politics over the weekend in a bitter contest for control of the Eagle Rock Neighborhood Council. The fight featured flyers that promised free medical marijuana to those who cast ballots, powerful labor union backing of pro-dispensary candidates, and a flood of voters from outside the neighborhood. In the end, only two of the dispensary backers won spots on the council, which advises City Hall on local issues. And that's your 420 headline news from the Russ Belville Show. When we come back, we go behind the headlines and take a look at the potential constitutional showdown between Washington, Oregon, and Colorado versus the federal government over marijuana legalization. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is Melissa Etheridge, and I'm encouraging you to vote yes on Amendment 64. Because a few years ago, I was going through cancer chemotherapy, and I was suffering. The nausea, the pain, it was terrible. Prescription drugs were not helping. The only thing that allowed me to function and regain my strength was marijuana, and I'm grateful for the relief it provided me. You know, before I needed to use marijuana, I just accepted the laws that treat marijuana users as criminals. But it's funny how a serious illness can give you a new outlook on life. I now see that it's wrong to arrest adults for using marijuana, and it's even more wrong to allow gangs and cartels to profit from selling marijuana. Instead, we should allow adults to possess limited amounts of marijuana, and we should regulate marijuana sales in order to generate tax revenues for public school construction and other community needs. To me, regulating marijuana is simply the right thing to do. Please vote yes on Amendment 64, paid for by the campaign to regulate marijuana like.
If we're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana and the next thing you know, they got 10 years, they've got mandatory sentences, and these judges just say, they throw up their hands and say, there's nothing we can do, it's mandatory sentences. We've got to take a look at what we're considering crimes.
When the Reverend Pat Robertson from television's The 700 Club,
criminalizing marijuana, criminalizing the possession of a few ounces of pot and that kind of thing, I mean, it's just...
makes more sense on the marijuana issue than the president, the Congress, and the Supreme Court.
It's costing us a fortune, and it's ruining young people. The young people go into prisons, they come out, they go in as youths, and they come out as hardened criminals, and it's not a good thing.
You know we're winning. Welcome back, folks. Time for us to get behind the headlines here on the Russ Belville Show. And I was prompted on this one by a headline I saw in the Huffington Post that said it was about the drug czars, basically saying that states legalizing marijuana will violate federal law, trigger constitutional showdown. This was part of the teleconference that they held yesterday, Monday. There was a teleconference from many of these DEA and NIDA and ONDCP heads. If you want to hear it, check out RadicalRust.com. I've got a post and a link to the full audio. Really, it's some phenomenal reefer madness. If you're low on your U.S. daily requirement of reefer madness, you should check out that teleconference. It'll take care of you for the whole rest of October. Trust me on this one. But on this conference call, they keep bringing up this idea that there'll be some sort of constitutional showdown if we were to legalize marijuana. Yes, a constitutional showdown. Let me give you the quote from Peter Bensinger. He's the moderator of that call that we had yesterday, and he was the administrator of the DEA during the Ford, Carter, and Reagan administrations. Currently, he is the CEO of Bensinger DuPont & Associates, which is a company that makes money off of people going to rehab. So you can imagine why he wants to still see marijuana remain illegal. But here's his quote. He says, Next month in Colorado, Oregon, and Washington states, voters will vote on legalizing marijuana. Federal law, the U.S. Constitution, and Supreme Court decisions say this cannot be done because federal law preempts state law. Cannot be done. Oh, gosh, why are we even bothering with the elections then? It can't be done. Apparently, we're not allowed to vote on things in our states here in Oregon, Washington, and Colorado because it's just cannot be done. Well, let me give you some history lessons on this, Peter Bensinger. Let me give you a little bit of a constitutional law class while we're at it. First of all, remember that horrible experiment we started back in 1919 called alcohol prohibition, the Volstead Act? Remember all of that? Yeah, we got enough of the people in the United States after a 50-year campaign of demonizing alcohol. We got enough people in the United States throughout enough state legislatures to approve a constitutional amendment that banned the transportation, the manufacture, and the sales of intoxicating liquors in the United States. Now, for those of you who don't know your history, by the way, that prohibition was much less onerous a prohibition than the prohibition on marijuana. That's right. Alcohol prohibition was nothing compared to marijuana prohibition. During the days of alcohol prohibition, you could still possess alcohol. There was no way anybody could throw you in a jail cell for just merely possessing alcohol. Furthermore, you could get a religious exemption for alcohol. That's right. If you were Catholic and you said that, well, you know, the wine is the blood of Christ and we need some wine, it was perfectly okay for you to have your religious exemption for your alcohol use. Now, tell that to my Rastafarian and Coptic Christian friends, whether or not they get a religious exemption for marijuana, and you might have to ask them from a jail cell. Furthermore, there were medical exemptions for the use of alcohol during alcohol prohibition. You could have medical alcohol. Yes, you absolutely could. So alcohol prohibition was nothing like marijuana prohibition, and yet, after alcohol prohibition was passed in a federal constitutional amendment, we still had states that voted to no longer enforce it. That's right. The 21st Amendment repealed alcohol prohibition, and that happened in 1933. So that happened in 1933. But before that, states had already stopped enforcing the Volstead Act. States had already voted to repeal their own versions of alcohol prohibition. And that's exactly the same constitution. In fact, more of a constitutional showdown, considering the fact that the ban on alcohol was in the Constitution. The 18th Amendment was part of the Constitution, and directly written in the Constitution, the word alcohol shall not be, right? You shall not have alcohol in the Constitution. And yet the state of New York, the state of Washington, and many other states repealed their alcohol prohibition, setting up that constitutional showdown with something that was directly written into the Constitution. Now, here what we're talking about with marijuana is not going against some constitutional amendment or some provision of the Constitution, but merely going against the Controlled Substances Act, a statute in the law. So as far as showdowns go, it's nothing compared to the showdown that happened over alcohol. Now, he will also point out, Bensinger also points out, of course, the Supreme Court decisions. And what he means by that and the Constitution is the Commerce Clause. That somehow the Commerce Clause is what's the underpinning of the Controlled Substances Act, and therefore legalizing marijuana in the states will go against the Commerce Clause. But the problem with that line of reasoning is that the Commerce Clause refers to the United States government's and specifically Congress's power to regulate commerce between the states. They do not have the right to regulate the commerce inside the states when it's intrastate commerce. Only interstate commerce. Now, this has been, challenged in Supreme Court cases where they say marijuana is fungible. No matter what you do with marijuana in one state, it's going to affect marijuana in another state. You got the Raich case with medical marijuana that said, you know, Angel Raich growing intrastate marijuana for no commerce still came under the Commerce Clause. But that's a constitutional showdown we want to have. We want that showdown. We want everyone to see the absurdity of the notion that if a state and its citizens decide by majority vote that marijuana should not be a crime, that somehow bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. should force us to keep it a crime. constitutional showdown. Hell, we welcome a constitutional showdown because guess what? You're going to lose it. I can think of another showdown we need to have.
Oh, yeah, this bowl needs to go down.
Yeah, you and me versus this bowl. We'll be right back.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Dear Dad, how should I say this? You know how you enjoy a drink after work? Well, in many ways, I'm just like you. I have a good job, I work hard, but when I get home, I prefer to relax with marijuana instead of alcohol. They're a little similar, but marijuana is actually less damaging to my health, and frankly, I don't feel like crap the next day. I hope this makes sense, but if not, let's talk.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization, regulation, and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. Radical Russ has been prepping for this debate full-time since 2005. The Russ Belleville Show. Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belleville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting-edge genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, folks, welcome back. On Tuesday is Electric Tuesday time. Time for us to turn on the poop titty machine. But for our Electric Tuesday music today, we go to House Legends, an album of compilations from a producer named Kerry Chandler. Kerry Chandler, of course, also known as Coaz, has some of the most popular and well-known house tracks and DJ tunes out there. He's mentored and worked with some of the best, including Dennis Farrar, Jerome Sydenham, and others. And he's the perfect candidate to launch this series. This album is called House Legends, digitally released on April 4th. 30th of 2012. The song that we've got for you here, I thought was appropriately titled, considering what me and Brian the Red are doing right this minute. It's called Grass Cutter. It's the 623 Club Mix, available for download from RadicalRust.com for our VIP members. If you want to become a member and help support this show, log on to RadicalRust.com/donate today. That's Kerry Chandler with Grass Cutter, the 623 Club Mix. You can get this and the rest of our Daily Toker Tunes download links available only for VIP members. Log on to RadicalRust.com/donate to join today. You can be a member for as low as $14.20 a year. That's about 250 download links over the year, plus other special advantages, discounts on Radical Rust merchandise, and special event passes when I'm appearing at certain events. So check it out, RadicalRust.com/donate. When we come back, it's time to go across the pond with Normal UK. Greg DeHoat is waiting for us. We're going to talk about that UK drug criminalization study and more. Stick around. This is the Russ Belville Show.
Hi, this is Dan Michaels. If you're looking for professional voice talent for your commercial or podcast, I'm your man. Visit danmichaelsaudio.com for more information. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here. Begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 31 after the hour, and it's time for us to go across the pond where we visit with Normal UK's Greg DeHoat. How you doing, Greg?
Not too bad, Ross. Yourself?
I'm doing great, and let's remind folks that if the name Greg doesn't sound familiar, you may know our good friend here as Cannabis Cure UK, and give them all of the promotional stuff they need to know if they want to find your videos and podcasts.
Yeah, sure. If you want to check out the Bank of the UK or Bank of the rest of the world, we're in all the states and Europe, the North and the top soon. So check out on Cannabis Cure TV on YouTube. Pretty much.
I'm going to interrupt for just a second. We're having some problems with the call quality here on and being able to hear you. You keep cutting out. So I'm going to try a disconnect and a reconnect with you to see if that will make a difference. So hold on just a moment, Greg, and we'll redial you with just a single connection instead of trying to do the group call that I usually do, and perhaps that'll give us a little bit better of a situation there. See if this connection will work a little bit better. And then I'm sure Greg's getting his video up here right now.
Is that better, Russ?
Yeah, that's much better.
Yeah, we have to do it without the video. Too much going on across the pond or the Atlantic there.
Well, thank you so much. Getting a little bit of echo, too, so I'll see if I can kill that a little bit. But we reported earlier today, I saw this coming out of The Guardian, but apparently this is a six-year study that's been going on in the UK with regard to the, you know, how you guys are treating drugs and cannabis out there. We told everyone that they said the recommendation was to decriminalize, and I actually read something somewhere else that had said it compared using drugs moderately to being like a fast food lifestyle. What else can you tell us about it?
I haven't actually had the chance to delve into the 178 pages of the full report yet, but you know what it is showing is basically that the current policy, which is mimicking American policy, just isn't working. We've got plenty of other policies around us that do show a little bit better hope. The evidence from the medical professionals shows that it isn't causing the harm that the media are and the government, a fear-mongering people with, and that they're starting to give it a bit more rationalization by saying, yeah, it's not as bad, it could only be as bad as junk food. I was listening to some radio shows today, and Sam Chowdhury from Normal UK, he's been on the radio. I've done a few as well. But there was one show was on today where someone called in. The topic was, is cannabis as bad as junk food? And there were just loads of people calling in saying, no, cannabis isn't as bad as junk food. You know, junk food causes diabetes and serious health problems. It is a growing, you know, a worry over here. We are getting a rising rate of obesity, and they are saying it's going to be an epidemic within the next sort of 10 years.
Yeah,
cannabis. We're not seeing those kind of prognoses at all, and we've been using it for 5,000 years.
Exactly. And who are some of the scientists and people who are involved with this study, and what kind of weight do they carry? I mean, how serious is this being taken in the UK?
I'm just trying to find the list of people. I'm not good at remembering the names of these people. But you've got police people from the police in there. That, you know, chief of police. There's someone from, I believe, a national addiction or drug counselling therapy.
So this isn't the equivalent of like the United States.
It's not harmful.
This isn't the equivalent of like in the United States where it would be, say, Drug Policy Alliance or Americans for Safe Access, and everybody'd say, oh, well, that's just the pro-pop people. This is like,
no, this isn't the pro-pop people.
That's so good to hear. When we get reports like this, inevitably, at least here in the U.S., you know, some DEA will come out against it and say, no, this is all, you know, wrong. It's all bollocks. So what's the equivalent out there? And are they out in force yet to decry this study?
I believe you even mentioned Mary Brett from Cannabis Skunk Sense on the show yesterday, didn't you?
Group again? What are they calling themselves?
This is actually a charity in the UK called Cannabis Skunk Sense. This woman has been going around since the mid-2000s or something like that, and she's been going around giving as much reefer madness as you could get. You know, Christopher Hitchens, the great writer, his brother Peter Hitchens I think he's got a column in the Daily Mail and the Mail on Sunday, and he just loves going after the cannabis consumers. We're all criminals, and we all need to be put in prison and taught a hard lesson. It's the only way we're going to learn. So they've been out in force, and of course, bringing up the same rubbish.
So they got nothing new. They got nothing to say, like the study is biased, or the study is looking at the wrong data, or how do they attack it?
One guy from the Daily Mail said that it was very pro, and you're going to expect this from these people. They're trying to gain something out of it, but the police aren't going to gain anything out of it. They're going to lose a £500 million budget over here a year. They're going to have to cut jobs. There's not going to be as much paperwork and things. They're not going to have as much time to deal with all these things because they're not going to have the money to do it.
Right.
So these people turning around and saying, we've got to, stop doing it. It's got to the point now where they know that the gangs are the problems. They've got to the point where there is international crime revolving around the cannabis trade in the UK. We've got large Vietnamese gangs, that have moved in, but worse than that, we do have homegrown gangs that have just sparked up because of this, of the lucrativity of it. It's so easy to make money and get involved in. It's a foot in the door of crime. That's the only real gateway there is to it. And this report is pretty much saying, it helps criminals. The most part of the people who are growing cannabis at home are growing it for their own personal use, and there's no need to arrest them. Let's take the crime away from it. And then you'll start seeing a bit, more positive results in society.
Absolutely. We're speaking with Greg DeHoat, a.k.a. Cannabis Cure UK. He's with the Normal UK and with the UK Cannabis Social Club. The website's there. It was normal-uk.org. Is that right?
Yep, normal-uk.org, and then cannabiscure.co.uk/UKCSC for the UK CSC stuff. I just wanted to mention this. That we have had some despite the UK DPC report that's just come out after 6 years of research and study. Police in Kent, which is actually the same county that they grow 300 tons of cannabis for GW Pharmaceuticals, today and on Thursday they're going into schools with the police are going into schools to teach them about drugs, a DARE style thing. They're going to be educating people on the role of the police, demonstrating the role of the police in tackling drugs, trying to deter people from using and dealing drugs. And then they're going to be testing facilities around the school to see if any drugs have been in there. They're going to be taking their dogs in, you know, giving the old scare tactics.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you mentioned the growing that's going on in the county of Kent there as far as GW Pharmaceuticals. They're, of course, the big pharmaceutical company putting together Sativex, which is due for FDA trials here in the United States in 2013. Currently, right this minute, there is the rescheduling hearing that's going on in Washington, D.C. ASA is suing to get marijuana rescheduled as Schedule 2 or Schedule 3 and to be available for medical purposes. Has there been any word out of GW on their on how they're looking at this case and how it would, you know, profit them greatly if the United States decided to move it to Schedule 2 or 3?
Well, we know that there's for the figure that I remember in my head the most is $80 billion a year, and that's just on cancer pain alone. Mm. Now, they're developing cannabis-based cancer treatments already. That's just covering one illness. How many types of cancer are there? Plenty. There's too many. They're dealing with, you know, inflammatory bowel diseases. They're looking at neuropathic pain. They're looking at, they even mentioned cocaine addiction at the GW conference that I went to. Wow. You know, cannabis treats a hell of a lot of things. And they, you know, there's no way that they're going to put a figure on how much money they're going to be, you know, getting out of this. As far as what the thing I thought about this ASA court case was, although it's an excellent thing, I just think is it worth it now? Like, we do know that cannabis is going to be accepted medically, that it's going to have to change the schedule. I know in Oregon already, they a few years back, they, you know, they changed the schedule of it to Schedule 2. You know, obviously it's a great thing that this is being done and it's getting it in the limelight and it's pushing things forward. Is it, you know, has it just taken too long? Has it come a little bit too late? I was going to ask you. You've experienced this for a lot longer than I have in the U.S.
Yeah, it's. I think it's a case of be careful what you wish for. You just might get it. And when you look at, you know, GW over there, GW Pharmaceuticals, just salivating over the profit opportunities on cannabinoid pharmaceuticals, I do worry about it. And I'll talk a little bit more about it in the rant coming up next. But, yeah, it's something I've got an eye on, and I just you can't oppose it, of course. We want to see development of anything that will help sick people in any way. But you worry a little bit about access to the whole raw plant.
Yep. And the thing is, if you look at the structure of the way, and I will go into this in more detail in the future when I've actually got myself to get settled. I'm moving house tomorrow. It's a year since I got back from America.
Well, that's right.
I'm moving into my own place.
So, anniversary back across the pond from us. It's been the time really flies, doesn't it?
Yeah, horribly. I was hoping to get back for the normal conference this year, but again, you know, just didn't happen. And next year we'll see plenty of things. But totally forgotten what I was gonna say. I will be going into it in more detail. But the connections that they've got in America set up for the pharmaceuticalization of cannabis is massive. Mm-hmm. I think it's Katsu or Osaka, the pharmaceutical company, they specialize in hydroponics, growing hydroponics. You go on their website, they are, you know, they know what they're doing. They've got computer control systems and all that to make sure the plants have got their healthiest regime possible. They've got the right kind of light. GW already do with this computer controlled growing already. They boast about that and how it's down to the T. You guys have got it, you know, they've got all the partners and everything lined up over there already. It's literally a case of just rolling out the bureaucracy of it and going through the motions that the government have set up for themselves. They've got a time plan. They know how long it's going to take. Nothing is going to happen overnight. That's something I'm trying to get into, you know, a lot of people over here who are excited to getting part of the movement right now, because a lot of people are getting involved with it. It's the right time to get involved with it. It's all happening now. They're like, all right, you know, well, this is going to happen next year. It's like, well, no, it's going to take like 2 or 3 or 4 years to, you know, really get this snowball big enough to, you know, push on to all these politicians. But you guys have been doing it for 20 years. We just haven't latched on. It's been way too slow over here. I don't know why we missed it. Obviously, politicians don't draw attention to it. People need to draw attention to it, to their politicians, and say, this is going on in America. This is going on in Spain. This is going on in Holland. Don't believe what the papers are saying. They're lying to you. They always have. When I called into the radio the other day, BBC, they called me up now. They're starting to contact us.
That's great.
When these news stories come in about cannabis. I said to them, I worked in dispensaries and warehouses in America, and they were like, what? It's legal over there? I was like, yeah, we're saying there's a problem over here with, cannabis growers taking over warehouses and filling them up and making lots of profit because it's lucrative. Over there, they tax it and they regulate it and it's not a problem and they've run out of warehouse space.
Yeah, really. It's amazing how little is actually known about what's going on. And that's why I really value your work. And I value this segment and being able to communicate. The internet just makes it possible for us to communicate. We got fans in Pakistan. We got fans where the hell's Ray Crystal? Cambodia. He was down in Cambodia for a while. And all this work that we're doing to get this out there, it's great work, and thank you for doing it.
I just want to, can I, is it all right if I just give someone a quick shout out?
Oh, please do. I was just going to say, we have to wrap up, but if you've got shout outs or events or anything you need to plug, go ahead.
Just a quick one. When I was on the show the other week, the guys from South African Normal were listening.
Yes.
And the head of them got raided and had his computer taken away and everything like that. So just much respect to out there in South Africa. You know, it must be pretty hard, and I hope everything turns around for you.
Yeah, and that's Emil, wasn't it?
I didn't get given his name. Yeah. I just got told the guy from Normal got busted, and I just felt felt gutted for him.
Africa, Normal ZA, for those of you listening across the pond. And Emil got raided, got his computer taken, all sorts of terrible things going on there. You can find out more about Normal South Africa. Just go to the Normal website. There'll be links to get you there. And of course, Normal UK, normal-uk.org, Greg DeHoats online at Cannabis Cure UK. Just put that into Google, you'll find them. And Greg, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, Russ. Take care.
All right.
Peace out.
We'll do, and we'll get you back here to the States as soon as we can.
Let's hope so. All right. Catch you later. Right. Peace out. Bye, Byron.
Bye, bye. All right, folks. Man, good segment. I always like talking to Greg. When we come back, it's time for a little bit of radical rant. We're going to take a look at that Acer rescheduling case, and be careful what you wish for. You might just get it.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Normal stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Who would you rather your kids talk to about drugs? You or some guy? When your kids find out you've been lying to them about marijuana, who will they trust? Let's have a rational discussion about drug reform. Let's tax and regulate marijuana, restrict youth access, and create safer communities.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, folks, time to get the rant hat on, because I got a few things to say about this rescheduling case that's going on in the D.C. Court of Appeals today. Now, before I get to this, let's just point out that, of course, you have to sue the federal government over the Schedule I lie. You cannot just let that sit. But I think as marijuana activists, and particularly those of us on our side who believe it should be none of the government's business whether we smoke pot, why we smoke pot, how we smoke pot, who we smoke pot with, what time we smoke pot, etc., If you're not just purely in this for the medical benefit, then you got to worry a little bit about the direction that could be taken through this court case, through this strategy. Now, Americans for Safe Access's director, Steph Shearer, was on CNN earlier this morning to tell the nation about this case. It's Americans for Safe Access versus Drug Enforcement Administration. And it's, of course, it's about marijuana's federal status as Schedule I. Now, this is the third lawsuit that's come across dealing with this Schedule I lie since Normal versus DEA was filed back in the 70s and heard in the 80s. That, of course, was the case where DEA Administrative Law Judge Francis L. Young ruled in 1988, quote, "Marijuana in its natural form is one of the safest therapeutically active substances known to man. Marijuana has been accepted as capable of relieving distress of great numbers of very ill people and doing so with safety under medical supervision. It would be unreasonable, arbitrary, and capricious for the DEA to continue to stand between those sufferers and the benefits of this substance in light of the evidence in this record," end quote. 1988, people, 1988, 24 years ago, when the federal government's own administrative law judge of the DEA, looking at the plethora of scientific evidence, anecdotal reports, and studies from other jurisdictions, state, federal, and local, and realized that marijuana in its natural form is one of the safest therapeutically active substances known to man. Now, he was overruled, of course, by a bureaucrat, by the DEA administrator at the time, just overruled it, just said, safer therapeutically. We're going to keep locking people up. So understand that this Schedule I lie is a designation of drugs. And for those of you who might be new to the show, let me just break it down real simple what we're talking about. Schedules, the DEA's Controlled Substances Act defines five different schedules, from the most serious Schedule I to the least serious Schedule V. And to make Schedule I, you got to meet the following three criteria. A, the drug or substance has a high potential for abuse. B, the drug or substance has no currently accepted medical use for treatment in the United States. C, there is a lack of accepted safety for use of the drug or other substance under medical supervision. Got to meet all three of those criteria to be Schedule I. And when you're Schedule I, you cannot be prescribed. You are completely illegal. The mere possession of it for any use whatsoever is a federal crime deserving of a felony charge and years in prison. Schedule I. Now, that's, of course, laughable when you talk about marijuana on all three counts. Under Condition A, the National Institutes of Drug Abuse tells us that the dependence rates for marijuana initiates is about 9%. That means about, out of 100 people who try pot, about 9 of them will go on to develop some sort of dependence on it. That compares to 15% rate for unscheduled legal alcohol and a 32% rate for unscheduled legal tobacco. If any drugs belong on Schedule I, they are alcohol and tobacco under that category. And other drugs that are listed in Schedule I as drugs of abuse with no medical use include heroin, LSD, and PCP, also known as angel dust. So as far as the federal government's concerned, on point A, high potential for abuse, marijuana could be as abused as heroin, acid, and angel dust. Now, conditions B and C, no medical use in the United States, no safety for that use under medical supervision, are demonstrably false. 17 states and the District of Columbia now have laws recognizing the medical use of marijuana. And last I checked, those jurisdictions are all located in the United States. Over 1 million Americans are using cannabis medically under the supervision of a medical professional. And to date, we have no reports of overdoses or deaths because those are not physically possible with marijuana. So the court today is going to be hearing the arguments for the medical use of cannabis, and our proponents are going to deliver all the scientific studies and medical marijuana state data to show that marijuana should be rescheduled, perhaps to Schedule II or Schedule III, designations that would allow marijuana to be prescribed by any doctor in the United States. However, when you look at the rest of the drugs in these schedules, it would seem that marijuana would go from an absurd criminal ban to a ridiculous prescription barrier. Drugs in Schedule 2 and 3 meet the following criteria. For Schedule 2, high potential for abuse, but does have currently accepted medical use with severe restrictions, and abuse of the drug could lead to severe psychological or physical dependence. Schedule 3 is a little more relaxed, has a potential for abuse less than 1 or 2, has currently accepted medical use, and abuse could lead to moderate or low physical dependence or high psychological dependence, right? So 2 and 3. So the court, in essence, will be deciding whether marijuana should continue to be treated like heroin and acid, or should it be treated like cocaine and methamphetamine, which are in Schedule 2, or should it be treated like anabolic steroids and ketamine, which are in Schedule 3. Medical marijuana supporters ought to think twice about whether a rescheduling victory is actually a victory when considering how they use marijuana. Schedule 2 cocaine is usually found only in dentist's offices as an anesthetic for oral surgery. Schedule 2 methamphetamine usually takes a pill form like Adderall or Desoxin. Schedule 2 and 3 drugs are still illegal drugs that will earn you jail time and maybe even a subpoena from Congress if you play baseball if you're caught with them without a prescription. So if you thought marijuana as Schedule 3 means you'll be able to take your bag of California dispensary bud with you to Texas, well, you better have a DEA-registered prescription for that and not just a California recommendation letter you bought on Venice Beach for $35. Schedule 2 or 3 marijuana means many things, good and bad. Indeed, any doctor in the U.S. would then be able to prescribe at the federal level, but states also have their own Controlled Substances Acts, and marijuana would need to be rescheduled there too. Now, here in Oregon, it's already Schedule 2, so doctors could start writing official marijuana prescriptions. But would they? Doctors are already under a lot of pressure for the overprescription of Schedule 2 drugs like OxyContin. Now, with legal medical marijuana in Schedule 2 or 3, pharmaceutical companies will then have the go-ahead to produce cannabinoid pharmaceuticals. The goal will be the development of drugs that duplicate all the best things about marijuana, except for the high. Under such a scenario, what's the impetus for any future state to approve a medical marijuana programming allow for the use of cultivation of a crude plant? Governments could still ban the production of raw marijuana, just as you can get Schedule 2 dental cocaine, but you're not allowed to grow your own coca plants. Patients would have no sob story about how they need plants to live when there's a legal spray, pill, or inhaler that works just as well and is covered by their insurance or Medicare prescription plan. Under Schedule 2 or 3 marijuana classification, there are no longer such things as medical marijuana patients, just as we don't designate insulin patients or Adderall patients. We designate patients by what they suffer from, not by what drug they take for it. In that future, there are just patients for whom a cannabinoid pharmaceutical will suffice. And then there's potheads who just want to get high on illegal drugs. Pharmaceutical companies, eager to protect their $100 to $250 million investment that it takes to bring these drugs to market, will keep putting pressure on the existing medical marijuana states that allow home growing and plant use and will pressure them to discontinue those programs. And the state governments will be hard-pressed to explain why they shouldn't when law enforcement will emphasize that home cultivation isn't necessary anymore and could only lead to illegal marijuana diversion, something that won't be as much of an issue if you're having to go to a pharmacy and get your little inhaler or pill or spray of cannabinoid drugs. In this case, Americans for Safe Access versus Drug Enforcement Administration, it might be one of those cases of be careful what you wish for, because you just might get it. In winning the recognition of medical marijuana at the federal level, medical marijuana at the state level may become something we don't recognize anymore. It's going to be really hard to pass a medical marijuana bill or initiative that allows for a person to grow their own plants, or even for that matter, use the raw crude plant itself, when there's a pill, a spray, or inhaler that will do exactly the same thing and have far less stigma and be seen more medical by the general public. I wish ASA good luck on the case. Of course, I want to see marijuana rescheduled out of Schedule 1, but I don't think it belongs on the schedule in the first place. Marijuana ought to be not rescheduled, but de-scheduled. Marijuana, cannabis plants ought to be as freely as available as aloe vera and St. John's wort. Not a prescription required. We'll get there. We will get there someday. And it's going to take baby steps, incremental victories along the way. And believe me, rescheduling will be a victory. Just remember, it may not be exactly what you think it's going to be. But if we all stick together, if we all pressure our legislators, and we all remember to vote, we can make this happen. And of course, when we pass legalization in 3 states this November, that's going to be our critical battle. Do what you want with medical, make all the pills you like. Just give me my right to smoke a joint in my house. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it.